Warning, the podcast Under the Stairs is not safe for work. We'll feature movie spoilers and language which most listeners may find offensive. Brought to you in conjunction with Legion Podcast Network. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone, and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is bonus episode number 82. I'm your host Duncan McLeish, and welcome to the show. Now, on bonus episode number 82, we are taking a slight break. We're putting the brakes on this motherfucker. No more reviews on this bonus episode. That's right, the previous couple of bonus episodes, we have been churning out a ton of content to do with, most notably, recent horror releases at UK cinemas, and we have travelled wide and far on our journey, covering some great ones and some pre-releases as well with Piwacket, and I have a really good one coming up very soon, next month, with myself and Scott from Scott and Liam vs Evil, looking at The Endless. I can't recommend that you check that one out enough. That movie is legit fucking awesome. So yeah, I decided that what might be a good idea to do, in lieu of the fact that I haven't done a live stream video with the old Q&A that we do every week, the Thursday, in feels like about 2 months now, which I will note just now, they are returning first week of June, when we officially come off Legion Podcast Network. I'll be bringing that back just to update where things are going with the podcast, etc. But at this stage anyway, we are doing a little bonus episode, and we're going to be doing your questions submitted through the Facebook group page. You guys have sent in some pretty awesome questions. I'm looking forward to getting to them all and fleshing out some answers, hopefully that justify the time it took you to type those questions into me. But before we get to that, we do some housekeeping at the start of all these episodes, and this is our second episode this week, second and final this week. We will be returning on Monday with the second and final installment of our Blind Dead series featuring Ricky Morgan. Looking forward to tackling parts 3 and 4. Then we'll be swinging in to our Challenge Teapots Movie Club on Thursday next week, and thus far I think I've had about 4 reviews of Night of the Comet, so if you're waiting around for that one, please get them in for Wednesday next week. Really need them in for Wednesday. I'll be posting a lot of Facebook things chasing people up, but we've only got 4 at the moment. I would like to see about 6. Come on, we can get another 1 or 2 in there. Come on, you can do it, guys. Don't let me down. And then we will be closing out next week with Hitchhike, which is our next installment. I think that's disc number, what are we on now? 8? Disc number 8? Maybe? Will we say it's disc 8? Yeah, let's say it's disc 8 of the 88 Films Italian Collection series of reviews. So we'll be doing Hitchhike. Looking forward to that one. Big David Hess is in it, and I've been assured there is rape abound. And as everyone knows, David Hess and rape go together like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So yeah, I'm looking forward to reviewing that movie as well. It's also worth noting that the gears are still trundling in the back here for the Summer Teapots Top 10 series. I have picked my 10 guests. They have been assigned their years and their pairs of what they're going to be doing. And that work will continue on. We'll very soon, in the next 2 weeks or so, be in a position that we can start making formal announcements on the page, so keep your eyes peeled for that. And at the end of this week, I'll be putting up a poll for suggestions for our next Teapots Russian Roulette franchise retrospective. So you need to be on the Facebook group page to vote on that one. It's facebook.com/groups/Teapotscast. Now, before we get into swinging into your listener questions, there are 1 or 2 little updates that I still want to get to in terms of things that have happened in the last week or so, which are notable in my eyes as being things that were absolutely fucking awesome. the first thing I want to do at this time is talk about how awesome it is to be part of this podcast and have legitimately the greatest listeners out there of all time. And what I love even more is when listeners get in touch with me, whether it's through Facebook or it's through something like email or Instagram or Twitter, etc. And that happened in the last week and a half, actually. A kind of long-time listener, but first-time emailer, Richard Svensson from Sweden, got in touch. He's been listening to us for ages. And he basically works in, I think he works in graphic illustration. And what he said to me was, would it be cool if I sent you through an image of the Baz that I've made? Now, we posted it on, it's on all our social media now, as a kind of ye old timey picture of old time horror, Edgar Allan Poe-esque, a bit of Lovecraft flung in there for good measure, and the Baz in the middle, and a kind of powdered wig, and it's fucking amazing. And if that wasn't like awesome enough, he swung in one at the start of this week as well, which was a J-horror inspired one. So we had the cat from Houseu, the bag from Audition, we had the references to The Grudge, Ring, etc. A bit of Onibaba as well, which a personal favourite of mine. And, you know, he didn't have to do that. He took his own time out to do something cool and send us content, and I couldn't be happier. It's one of the coolest things that's happened in the almost 5 years that Podcast Under the Stairs has existed. So thank you very much, Richard. I know you listen to these shows, and I just want to swing you a very big thank you for that. It's super fucking awesome. And yeah, feel free to do what Richard did and take a couple seconds and send us an email. We always read our emails, we always read tweets directed to us, Instagram messages, Facebook messages. We're very socially active, so please get in touch, because we want to hear it from you as well. The second thing I want to mention is I've just, this very night of recording this episode, returned home from recording a special guest appearance on a fairly new horror podcast. I say horror, they're going to be covering things that are genre-centric without necessarily being full-on horror. And what I thought was really cool was that, you know, they're Glasgow-based, which, you know, I am a big proponent of kind of hometown horror content. I get behind it quite a bit, I like to support it. And these guys are certainly doing something which I think is a ton of fun. The podcast is called Strong Language and Violent Scenes, and I will appear on their episode number 4, which I went on to basically defend the movie Rawhead Rex. The conversation was a fucking blast. I had so much fun doing it, and that episode should be out on Friday this week, so a day after this episode drops, and I'll be promoting it quite heavily. So please go over, show those guys some love. So that is the Strong Language and Violent Scenes podcast. I also want to fling out a congratulations. We found out tonight that our buddies Scotland vs Evil hit a massive milestone in their download numbers. They have basically, in the first 5 months of this year, equaled and surpassed the amount of downloads that they got in the entire previous year. And I want to just say it's testament to the hard work and awesomeness of genuinely one of the best podcasts out there. I think Scotland vs Evil is legitimately one of the funniest podcasts I've ever listened to, and every single episode entertains, enthralls, and makes me smile. So if you're not listening to their show yet, Scotland vs Evil, please swing out and show them some love. And the very last thing, the very, very, very last thing I want to mention is that at the moment we are still trundling on, myself and Bo, through Westworld, the new season of Westworld over on Duncan and Bo Come Correct. And it's been, this season's been amazing. Our conversations have been a ton of fun, and hopefully you're checking them out, because we put a lot of hard work into doing those shows, and really we sit up at ridiculous hours recording and putting on funny voices and all the rest, and trying to entertain as well as educate with our opinions on Westworld. So go across the Legion Podcast Network and check out Duncan and Bo Come Correct this season. running through Westworld Season 2. So there we go, shameless plug-in, plug-in other shows, plug-in guest appearances, talking about Westworld, talking about how awesome the listeners are. I think I've checked everything off the box that I have written in front of me in terms of pre-show content, and it's time to get into the meat and bones of this episode. So I'm going to take my first break. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear a little bit of music. When I return, I'm going to be answering your questions on this bonus episode of the podcast Under the Stairs. All that and more, ladies and gents, coming up right after this.
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
Then you've got the wrong f***ing show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.krugernation.com.
Oh, good God, a butthole casserole!
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How did
be a rough
you watch
one.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
Bad, real bad man.
And welcome back, ladies and gents. I swung out a little last-minute Facebook message saying, go and send us some questions, some discussion topics, and we will cover them on this bonus episode ahead of the long-anticipated return of Thirsty Thursday to the live stream on the Facebook group page. And you guys did not let me down. I think I got about 8 questions, so let's just roll into them. First question came in from Ryan D. Nicklow. He says, it's always fun to hear you talk about how Little Winter is growing as a horror fan. Do you see her joining Daddy on the show in a few years? That's a good question. Winter is, for those that don't know, Winter's my daughter. She's 4 years old. She turned 4 last month. And since she was like young, as in like 1.5 to maybe even 2 years old, she's had this ridiculous fascination with things like Halloween, not the movie, just Halloween the season. Like, she pretty much celebrates all the time. She always listens to Halloween songs and spooky ghosts and all the rest. And got really hardcore into like things like Scooby-Doo and stuff. And that's kind of morphed out into the point where she's regularly in the room when I'm watching like a Friday the 13th movie or something else, and she'll ask questions about what's on the screen, and I'm honest with her, you know, it's a man in a suit, you know, that's just paint, it's not blood. And she digs horror. She really, really does. She has a morbid fascination for it, and it's my hope, and you know, I think it can only be a hope, because I'd never want to force her to watch something that she might not like. But it's my hope that moving forward we'll start kind of planning out certain horror movies that she can watch, and see if I can build her into the sort of genre fan that I am. Maybe less obsessive, and hopefully she sleeps more. But, you know, try and flesh out an interest in horror, which I know is there already, and see if she will get interested. I don't know if I would ever bring her on. There are other shows that do it really well. I would say the podcast on Haunted Hill do a great segment with Gav's daughter, and I know Dave C over on Exploding Heads does some content with his daughter as well, and that's super cool. I like that. I don't know if she would ever join me on a podcast or something. I would never say never. I tend to post little videos on the Facebook group page when there's something cute horror related that she's seen. So, but my kind of aspirations, my goal, the thing I would love is to be in a position where she grows up being a horror fan, and me and her can go and see horror movies together, or we can watch them together in the house. So that would be my long-term goal. Thank you very much for that question, Ryan. The next question comes in from Big Dino Martin. He says, what horror movie or franchise would make a good video game? This is actually a really good question. I was putting quite a lot of thought to this today. I think From Beyond would make a bitching computer game, in that I think you've got obviously the house elements, the weird creatures, you've got the pineal gland machine, you know, the resonator, but I think you could expand out what is beyond the resonator, what's in the other world, and really open that up and go really body horror centric in it, which would be kind of amazing. And I would totally play the shit out of that computer game. So there you go, that's my answer for you, Big Dino, From Beyond. Give me some of that Stuart Gordon shit. The next question comes from long-term listener, and at the same time, first-time poster for questions. This is Tony Case. He says, outside of horror, what's your favourite cult genre? Action, spaghetti westerns, kung fu, blaxploitation? Is a really good question as well. I do like all of those that you mentioned. I grew up as a bit of an action junkie. When you are like a kid in the 80s, you were pretty much treated to some of the best action movies ever made, when action heroes were not The Rock. And you had a choice of about 7 or 8 different action heroes you could follow. And, you know, spaghetti westerns, I'm not a big western fan, but spaghetti westerns, because of their, you know, the Italian connection, etc., I've grown to love them more. Kung fu movies is a given. I'm like a massive fan of martial arts just in general. So, you know, I love that. Blaxploitation is a definite yes. Ridiculous love for, you know, not only blaxploitation, in its wider sense, but narrowing it down to its kind of macro horror sense, I think it's a very, very fun genre. One that I absolutely love is noir movies that are set with a kind of noir tone, whether that's something which is authentically sort of, you know, 1920s feeling, where, you know, why shouldn't it, kid, you know, that sort of thing, or if it's more a kind of neo sort of noir movie which takes noirish elements but brings them into an environment where the world itself is, you know, in the future or of more modern times. Like one of my all-time favourite movies is the Fantastic Brick, which I think is an incredible movie, which takes those noir elements and, you know, modernises them, updates them, and then puts them in a completely different setting, in the setting of a high school, which I think is really cleverly done. So I think of the kind of weird genre, kind of subgenre stuff, noirish films, I think they classify as a cult genre, because they have like some famous ones for sure, but there's a lot of really obscure ones that go under the radar, and I have a lot of fun with all of them. So yeah, that's where I'm going with it, a bit of noir based cinema. So the next question comes in from our good buddy Michael McCloskey. He says, I know Baz has kind of broken away from comics these days, but has he seen Infinity War? Or indeed, have you seen it, Duncan? Thoughts on it? Also, do you fancy a rant about Disney being about to own everything in the world? Seriously, they have Star Wars and Marvel now, and all the Fox stuff they need just to get Warner Brothers, and then they have DC and Harry Potter and the biggest franchises of the modern era. That can't be good, surely. I don't think Baz has seen Infinity War, to the best of my knowledge. I would never speak for the man, but I'm not aware of it. I've not seen him post anything about it, so that's usually a good indicator. I think, in fairness, he's kind of went off all that stuff in general. I too have not seen Infinity War. I kind of want to see it just so I can make my mind up about it. I've kind of got a pessimistic attitude towards it already, just because I think it's too much, and I genuinely just think that all of it's just too much at the moment. And I already know some spoilers about it, and I'm immensely cynical that they're just going to undo a lot of stuff from the movie, and thus the gravitas, the poignancy, the emotional weight, or the emotional buy-in is not worth it at all, because you can just undo everything that you've done. So I'm not a big fan of that. So I will try and check that out. Worst case scenario, I'll see it before the year is out. In terms of the Disney thing, this is a weird one, because in a lot of respects, you could say that Disney has given Marvel fans what they always wanted. They've given them like a huge platform to build a landscape and a almost world building of comic books, which, you know, fans have always wanted to see, and they've done that. In terms of the Star Wars thing, so them buying a Lucasfilm, I think what comes out of that is generally positive reviews for what's come out thus far, and obviously they've got like a 10-year plan of Star Wars content, spin-offs and backstories and sequels and prequels and God knows what else. You hear me yawning because that's how tired I am thinking about the sheer amount of content that Disney already owns, and they're currently in a bidding war with Fox, which might mean they get the last of the, you know, the Marvel stuff they don't have, and then access to a ton of other content. And I think is it a good thing? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I think if you want to see big budget movies, then Disney's the place to have it, because Disney is a money making factory. So if you want to see the biggest possible budget slung against those movies, it makes sense to be there. I like I like the idea of many studios. I like small studios up to the major ones, all kind of doing their own thing. Yes, at times they're all just copying each other and ripping each other off, but I don't think one company having a monopoly over everything is necessarily good. Case in point example for that is, I'm a big fan of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think it's a great, very, very, very funny TV show. And then there was the news that came out that Fox were ditching it. Fox were dropping it, they'd had enough, weren't interested in it anymore. And it's been picked up now. I think it's NBC that's picked it up to put it out. And that wouldn't happen in a scenario where a Disney owns everything. You need other companies to be able to pull in to do things or put out their own content to keep things in check. And not everything has to have the biggest budget in the world. So I don't necessarily think it's the greatest idea. However, if you're a fan of big blockbuster movies with a lot of money flung against it, you should really be hoping that your specific subgenres or your interests or your franchises or whatever fall under the category of Disney, because they know how to pump money into things. So yeah, hopefully that has answered your question, Michael. The next question comes in from Andrew Huff. He says, Duncan, what is some good advice for us new to the podcast world? Friday the 13th Horror Podcast is always trying to get better for our current and future listeners. So, for those that don't know, Andrew Huff, who's been a long-time listener of this show, recently started a podcast called Friday the 13th Horror Podcast, which is, I always want to say Friday, so I have to try and correct myself, where they are really taking an interesting spin on things, looking at real-world horrors as well as horrors in the movie. The movies industry, the movie genres, and they're fairly new in the scene, but I already think they sound like they've been doing it for years. Not trying to blow smoke up your ass, Andrew. I think you've already nailed a lot of which takes a lot of podcasters a lot of time to learn, a chemistry, a flow and stuff. My biggest bit of advice is the same bit of advice I give to anyone that asks me for advice on podcasting. Is do what you love and do what you know, and have fun with it. And remember, podcasting is a commitment of time. It's a commitment of free time. So you need to be enjoying what you're doing, and don't worry about download numbers, and don't worry about like not getting feedback. Sometimes that, like, we still get like whole months where no one writes anything. But just stay true to yourselves. Stick with your content. You know, if you have a gut feeling on something, chances are it's a good first instinct, stick with that. And just have fun. Podcasting is all about having fun and connecting with people with similar interests, I think. Or at least sparking a debate. And I think you're already doing a lot of that on Friday the 13th Horror Podcast. So, yeah, as a podcast, I would recommend anyone to listen to. So hopefully, yeah, that has tied things up in a nice, neat bow for you, Andrew. And thanks very much for writing them. The next question comes from Mike Patterson. He says, any plans on what type of review show for the upcoming Halloween? I.e., will it be your review, then Baz's fairly soon thereafter? Perhaps a joint review? Also, any more Russian roulette ideas? So, me and Baz have already talked about this. There is a show in the planning to pick up franchise movies which came out after we reviewed retros on franchises. So at the moment, what falls into that category is, I think it's Paranormal Activity Ghost Dimension, Leatherface, the most recent Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and this particular movie that's coming out in October, Halloween. And what we're talking about doing is doing like a Baz style review for each of those movies. So essentially creating like a Baz v Horror episode to cover the bases of franchises I've done things out with. So that's the plan. It's likely to come much later on in the year, probably November-ish, because we'll probably want to take a bit of time after Halloween comes out to compose ourselves before moving into that. But that episode will cover movies and franchises that we've already done the franchises, but a movie came out afterwards. So there we go. In terms of the Russian roulette ideas, I funnily enough spoke about that right at the start of this episode. We will be kicking out with a little bit of Russian roulette. It will be landing at some point this week. There'll be a poll. You get to vote on it. It'll be a longer franchise. And then I'll start doing the guests, getting all that shit sorted. Because it's a longer franchise, some of them are not great. So, Puppet Master might be in there, that's all I'm saying. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that one. It'll be dropping in the Facebook group page before the end of the week. And thank you very much for sending that in, Mike. Next question from our good buddy Mark Ball. He says, thoughts on animal violence in movies, especially cannibal movies of the 70s and 80s. Gross and unnecessary or serves a purpose? Mark, you know fine well, I am a strong proponent of no violence against animals. I don't think there's any justification for it or any reason for it in movies. If you're going to kill an animal on screen, fakely, off screen, etc. Yep. Right, that upsets me, but you know, I can see why I've done it as a stylistic choice. But if you're actually killing a real animal on screen, I've got to question what the fuck you're doing. That being said, some use it purely for exploitative purposes with no merit at all in the film. A great example of that is Cannibal Ferox. Other movies have in the past used it for real impact to subvert your idea of what you're watching, and thus play off it. I've spoken many times about Cannibal Holocaust, a movie which benefits from the animal violence in that it makes the human violence feel real. That being said, if I think you could get that movie to have the same effect that it does minus the animal killing, I would certainly be up for that. I think Cannibal Holocaust is a hugely important film to the genre. It's grubby, it's grimy, it's a bit ham-fisted in its message. The animal violence is deplorable and stomach-turning, but the way it tricks your brain into thinking that everything you're seeing is real is one of these things you just don't see in many movies now, so I think that's kind of fantastic. And yeah, that's it. That's my opinion. There's a lot of them that use it purely just to have some animal violence in there, and I'm not keen on that. But when it's done right, even though I'm not keen on the use of it, I can see the overall merits in terms of how it lasts, how it stands up within the kind of film genres, and at the same time, basically how important certain movies have become because of it. So once again, hopefully that has answered your question, my good friend Mark Ball. And I think Mark's currently working on a brand new podcast, so there'll be no doubt details that will pop up as and when that starts to get released. Second last question coming from Jamie Miskell. She said, what movie flopped when it originally came out that you think modern audiences would take to now, aka a movie before its time? It's a really, really, really good question. I think there's a couple that I'll give out here. I think The Last Broadcast, it came out a couple of months before Blair Witch Project. Blair Witch Project exploded. They were doing very, very similar things. I think with the kind of climate we have now with people and interest in found footage movies, that I think The Last Broadcast probably plays better with an audience now than it's ever played before. Other examples of movies that didn't hit the mark when they came out, I always come back to Session 9. I think Session 9 didn't get nearly as much attention as it deserved back then. I think it's a movie that's aged really well. It's acted incredibly. I think it's just genuinely a creepy fucking movie. I think that finds a better audience now. I think more people turn to that movie and enjoy it. And yeah, that would be a couple of examples that I would put forward. Thanks very much for writing in, Jamie. Final question comes from Don and Nelly. He says, do you think the gluttony of releases in the genre helps because there's so much stuff to dive into, or hurts stuff because it burns out the audience and good stuff slips through the cracks? It's a double-edged sword, isn't it, Don? I think what we're seeing just now is very reminiscent of the boom of the 80s. 80s horror cinema boom was ridiculous. It became such a massive industry, and it got to the point that people were just not interested. And it went through this huge transition through the late 80s, through the 90s, into the 2000s. And in the last 5 years, things have certainly picked up and started to ramp up a hell of a pace. I think the sheer gluttony of releases is a good thing because they're not all in one genre and they're covering many genres, and that way it gives people choice, and I think choice is always a great idea. When it comes to stuff slipping through the cracks, that's inevitably always going to happen. I think it's harder for things to slip through the cracks now just because you have so many avenues online for people to review things or publicise things. I've heard about movies in the last 2 years that I would never have heard about had there not been other podcasts or review sites, you know, fanzines, horror zines and stuff out there. So I think we're in this great situation that not only are we getting this like deluge of phenomenal horror content coming out, but there are people all over the world there ready to review and post their stuff online for people to find. I know that Don, yourself, you write a ton of movie reviews, and to be honest, I read every single one you post and then I make up my mind whether or not I want to watch that movie off the back of it. And a lot of them I've never heard of before. I think it's testament to the fact you're doing that. If people out there are finding reviewers or finding websites, etc., that they realise have a similar style or opinion or interest, then that's a great platform to be used to highlight fantastic horror movies. And I think this is the first time we've had something as accessible worldwide. And it's an exciting thing. So yeah, I think my only concern is that there genuinely is things that I have to prioritise now because there's so much content. So, in doing that, inevitably some things will slip through the cracks and then be found years later. But then you get this little treat years later when you find something you've never heard about and it blows your mind. So yeah, there you go. Thank you very much for sending in that question, Don. Right, ladies and gents, I'm going to take my final break of this episode. When I return, I'm closing it out right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been bonus episode number 82. This has been answering your questions, dear listeners. Thanks very much to everyone who wrote a question in for this show. Like I said at the start of the episode, this is the second and final episode this week. Next week is another 3-episode week. Monday will see us conclude our look at the Blind Dead series with Ricky Morgan. On Thursday is Movie Club, with reviews of Night of the Comet from you, dear listeners. You have until Wednesday to get them in. Please hurry up on that one. And then coming on Sunday, we'll be doing Hitchhike, disc number, once again, he forgets, 8 of the 88 Films Italian Collection. Very much looking forward to getting into that movie. There's a multitude of ways to check out the podcast Under the Stairs. As always, I say check us out through Apple Podcasts. Yes, please come across, check us out on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to the feed and you'll get episodes as and when they drop and access to the entire back catalogue of T-Putz content. While you're at it, please leave us a rating and a review. Super important on iTunes to have those ratings and reviews. With the ratings, if it was 5 stars for example, the more of them we get, the higher up the iTunes charts were pushed for people to come across and check out our show. And reviews tell people out there why they should listen to us. What do you like about us? Write it down there, it takes seconds for you to do. It means the world to us and costs you nothing. It's the best way to support this podcast. Also, word of mouth. Tell your friends, tell your neighbours, tell your loved ones, tell your enemies. Check out Podcast Under the Stairs. You can also check us out on SoundCloud, Stitcher Smart Radio, TuneIn and Google Play. Please come across to our website at tputzcast.com. You can support the show some more if you've got some pennies to throw our way and buy cool things by clicking the merch tab there, or go to tputzcast.bigcartel.com, which is our official merch page. There are a few enamel T-Punks pins left and some posters, so come across and chip in and help the show if you can. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/tputzcast. And if all that wasn't enough, you can interact with the Baz and the Twin Prongs, the social media sexiness. Instagram and Twitter can be both followed at TputzCast. So there we go. I hope you've had a fantastic week thus far, and I hope your week closes out super strong. Wherever you are, rock out with your cock out. And wherever you are, whatever the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. Until next week, this is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from under the stairs, and I'm signing off.